So when you guys went down there and you found her naked laying on her back, is that when you said that Wes tried CPR?
When parents decide they want to bring a new life into this world, they are required to make sure that their baby has everything they need to live well and be happy. A child should be cared for and loved, then tucked into bed with a full stomach at the end of every day. Unfortunately, almost any couple can choose to create life, and sometimes, a child is born into an unsanitary home with unfit parents, and that child has no way of letting the world know the hell they are going through. This is the heartbreaking story of Phoenix Sinclair.
You've done very well, Sam. You've done a good thing here, and I appreciate you being honest with me and telling the truth. You did the right thing. There's a couple things that we talked about that I'm a little bit confused on, though, because I feel like I kind of have two different stories about it, so I want to make sure I got it right and get the truth about what happened, okay? The part that you and I talked about that day when Phoenix died, you were telling me about what you think killed her in the basement. Can you explain that again? Because you explained it one part, but you had talked before about it, and it's kind of different, so I want to make sure I got it right. So I want you to talk to me about the morning, or that the day that you guys were at home when Phoenix died, before you went to Wes's dad's house.
This is Phoenix Sinclair, and she was born on April 23rd, 2000 in Canada. Phoenix loved watching movies and playing outside with her favorite toys. She was a very smart baby and learned to speak much sooner than other children her age. Unfortunately, Phoenix's life would be taken shortly after her fifth birthday.
She was okay. She was breathing.
Okay, and I that's what you told me. But when I had asked you about what it is that you think killed her.
Yeah, when we came back, she said it looked like she choked on a puke. That's what I said. That looks like me. That she might have died from choking on a puke.
Right.
There was the puke spot there.
But then we talked about what happened down there.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm confused, is the time when you talked about the puke, but then you also talked about Phoenix being thrown across the floor, or thrown onto the floor, banging her head.
Yeah, that was the day before.
Okay, so that's where I'm confused about.
This is Samantha Keematch and Steve Sinclair, and they were Phoenix's biological parents. Before Phoenix, Samantha had given birth to another child, but due to their history of violence and alcohol abuse, the child would be taken away by the state. Shortly after Phoenix was born, Child and Family Services would step in to see if the newborn was being taken care of due to the parent's history of neglect. After inspecting the home, CFS noticed that the parents had not purchased a crib or any other baby items. Samantha would watch emotionless as CFS took her newborn baby from her and placed her into foster care.
As what day, what thing happened?
Mm-hmm.
So,
like, what do you mean? Like,
the day before she died. So we know she died on June 11th, right?
Mm-hmm.
So on June 10th, what happened that day? What happened to her that day? Those things you were telling me about?
That's the day I was pushed her. She banged her on the floor.
Okay.
That's what I said. She banged her head on the floor.
Right.
Was pushed her.
See, I thought you said that that was the day that she died.
No.
Okay. So this is why I want to talk, to make sure I've got it right, because there was parts that confused me about that. So on June 10th, the day before, that's when he threw her and she hit her head on the floor. Okay, so what else happened that day?
Phoenix would remain in foster care until she was 5 months old. Samantha was required to take part in a psychological evaluation and receive regular visits from an in-home support system in order to regain custody of Phoenix. Both parents showed lack of interest in this plan, and Phoenix would remain in foster care until she was 1 year old. At that point, Samantha was offered supervised visits, but again, failed to partake in any of the requirements. Right before Phoenix's first birthday, Samantha would give birth to yet another child. They named this one Echo.
Now, you had told me about hitting her in the leg a couple times with that bar, that pipe. I think you called it a bar, maybe? Yeah. So, did you hit her with that thing that day, the same day that he pushed her and she hit her head? Okay, so what day did you hit her?
That was a different day. I don't know what day that was. That was a different day. I know that wasn't the day before she died.
Okay.
It was just a different day.
Okay, now the day that she died, you had talked about leaving with Wes to go to his dad's. Mm-hmm. And then you came back because Daniel phoned because she wasn't breathing. Mm-hmm. Well, before you guys left, before you went to his dad's, what happened in the basement? I need you to talk to me about that again.
Nothing happened in the basement. Like, what do you mean? What happened?
Well, we talked about...
There's nothing that happened. She was breathing. She was all right to me before I left.
Okay,
so... She was laying there, yeah, but she was breathing.
And when you say she was laying there, where was she laying?
On the floor.
In the basement?
Yeah.
Okay, and that's the last time you saw her?
Yeah.
And how do you know she was breathing?
Because I checked her.
Steve Sinclair would begin to care for both Phoenix and Echo alone, as Samantha had decided to leave the relationship. At 4 months old, Echo was brought into the emergency room because she was having a difficult time breathing. There, she would pass away from pneumonia. The death of his daughter caused Steve to begin drinking more than he normally would, and without telling social services, he left Phoenix with a couple named Kim Edwards and Rohan Stevenson.
Okay, why did you think you had to check her to see if she was breathing before you left? What had happened?
Because I always check on her. I just checked. It was just something like... I don't know why, I just did.
Okay, because we had talked before, and you had suggested to me that Phoenix died because she choked on her puke.
Mm-hmm, that might have been, I said.
Okay. I don't believe that's true, and I don't think you do either. After we had talked about that, and I asked you, what do you really think killed her? And you told me that it will probably be an injury to her head. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
So when you had talked to me about how she got that injury, what day did that injury happen?
On June 10th.
And how do you know that?
Because I remember that was the day. Because I remember thinking maybe that's how she died, I was thinking. So I thought maybe that's why she died, maybe because she had an injury to her head, because when she fell.
Okay, so
maybe that was what happened.
Ron and Kim loved Phoenix, and she would be a welcomed addition to their family. Phoenix would remain with the couple for 2 years. During this time, Samantha would periodically stop by and take her daughter, Phoenix, for small periods of time. Ron would say that Phoenix would act differently after Samantha returned her, and one time, Phoenix was returned with lice in her hair.
So was there anything wrong with her on June 11th that would make you think that she was still hurt from the day before?
Mm-hmm.
So when you said that you went to check on her...
Yeah, when I checked on her, she was okay and breathing.
Now she was breathing, but was she beaten up? Was she hurt?
think maybe she was hurt.
Okay.
But I can tell, like, because she was just laying there and she was breathing. Just like when somebody's just laying there. No, when someone's just laying down.
Okay, so you...
She was okay though when I looked at her.
Okay, so she was alive, you say, when you looked at her. Now, when you think she was kind of hurt, what made you think she was hurt?
Just thinking maybe because of her head, maybe. I was just wondering about that.
Okay, and so are you telling me that nothing happened in the basement that before you went, that nothing happened to her in that basement on June 11th?
In the summer of 2004, Samantha was living in a rented home with a man named Carl McKay. Just like her ex-boyfriend, Carl had an extensive history of alcohol addiction and domestic violence. Samantha would pick up her daughter from the home of Ron and Kim and take her to live in her home with her new boyfriend. By the winter of that same year, Samantha and Carl would have a child together, and that's when Phoenix's life would become worse than it already was.
Did Phoenix get hit before you and Wes went to his dad's?
Not sure. I never hit her, though. I didn't hit her.
Was Wes downstairs with her before you left?
He was down there with her.
And what was he doing down there?
Not sure. That's when after he told me that she didn't want to, and she said she couldn't come upstairs.
Okay, so he was downstairs with her. He came up. And that's when he told you she said she can't come upstairs?
He told me, yeah, she couldn't come upstairs. He asked her. He said he asked her to come upstairs and eat. Yeah, to eat, and she said she couldn't.
Okay. So then, did you go downstairs and check on her?
No.
So after he came up and said she can't come up and eat, what happened?
I didn't think anything. So maybe she was just too lazy or just tired to, or she just didn't want to.
Okay.
Because that's how she, sometimes she wouldn't want to eat. Sometimes.
Okay. So then you went and checked on her before you left?
Yeah, I checked on her before I just went down there.
Okay, so did you see her again after Wes had come up? And said, you know, I asked her to come and she says she doesn't want to. Did you see her again after that?
No.
Okay, so then you guys went to his dad's. And is that when Daniel called? And what did he say?
Wes talked.
Okay. So when Wes got off the phone, what did he tell you?
He just said, okay, then we'll see you later. We're gonna go home now.
Did he tell you why?
And then... And we got in the car there. So why Daniel called? I said because she's not breathing.
Okay.
And I felt like I got scared and I didn't.
So that when you got home, what is the first thing you did when you got back home?
Phoenix was treated like a house servant as her mother demanded that she do all of the chores. If 5-year-old Phoenix forgot to clean something, her mother would call her names, and she even shaved her head to make her look more like a boy. Phoenix would be hospitalized from a severe ear infection caused by a piece of styrofoam that had become lodged inside of her ear. Carl also played his part in Phoenix's abuse He enjoyed playing a game he liked to call chicken, and it involved grabbing Phoenix around the throat and picking her up off the ground. Once she passed out, he would throw her back to the floor and wait for her to regain consciousness. In the rare occasions that Phoenix was allowed to play outside, Carl would fire his pellet gun at her as she would run and cry while dodging the incoming projectiles. In between all of this emotional and physical abuse, Phoenix spent the majority of her time alone in the basement playing by herself.
Okay, is there any windows in the basement there?
Yeah.
So from where the window is, where was she laying? Like, where in the basement, when you come down the stairs, where is the window?
The window is over here.
So it's to your left?
To the left by the wall.
Okay, so where was Phoenix laying, like, in relation to the window?
It was, like, kind of, like, this end.
Was she near the same wall as the window?
No, it was, like, how do you explain it?
Was she near a wall or in the middle of the floor?
It was kind of in the middle of the floor. There was things. There's been like furniture by the wall there.
Okay. Okay. Did she have any clothes on? No. So when you guys went down there and you found her naked laying on her back, is that when you said that Wes tried CPR? Okay, and then that's when it got into where you went to get garbage bags and you guys wrapped her, and we talked about that already.
In addition to Samantha, Carl, Phoenix, and their newborn child, Carl also had two biological sons that lived with him and his family. These two sons witnessed the horror that took place leading up to the disappearance of 5-year-old Phoenix. They told their biological mother while visiting her one day exactly what they had seen, and both Carl and Samantha were brought in by police for questioning.
She was in your life, right? She was in your life. But because of whatever was going on in your life, pressures, medication, whatever it may be, things got a little crazy, right? Did you mean to do that to her? Did you mean to go that far? Or was it one of those situations where a nice guy made a mistake? Wesley, did you mean to do that to Phoenix? Did you mean to do that purposely? Or was it just something that was beyond your control? Did you do that on purpose to her? Because if you did that on purpose, I can't understand. I can't understand. Did you do that to her on purpose? Or was it something that was beyond your control? Was it beyond your control?
Nobody controlled it.
Nobody controlled it? Who controlled it? Who controlled it, man? You're a good man. You are. Who controlled it? Huh? Who controlled it, man? She didn't have to do. She didn't have to die like that. Hey, do you agree? It's horrible, eh? You know what? I'm glad I see you like that, because you know what? It tells me you have feelings. You care. I'm happy to see you like that, man. Because you care. I know you do. That's why I'm sitting here with you. You care. You do. You're a good man. Doesn't matter what anybody says, you're a good man.
The detective has the statement from Carl's son, but now he needs a confession. Instead of asking Carl if he committed this crime, he instead explains to him that he knows that he murdered Phoenix, and there is no doubt in his mind that he is guilty. He tells Carl that all he wants to know is why he would do it. By skipping the initial accusations and going straight into having the suspect explain why he did it, it will make Carl feel like it is hopeless to deny the accusations, because they already have all the information they need to convict him. Carl will think his best option is to explain why this would happen, and maybe create a scenario where he doesn't look like such an evil person.
You are. How come it happened? Just, we know it happened. We know it happened. Why did it have to happen? You don't know? Do you regret that?
I can't think
of it. I know. Do you regret what happened? Tell me you do. Do you regret what happened? Do you?
Whatever it did my whole life, I regret it.
Yeah. If you could change one thing in your life, what would you change right now? Right now. Huh?
I know my lawyer advised me to say nothing.
I know. But you know what? All the lawyers do that, and that's right. That's your legal obligation. But you know what? You have values that are speaking out. You have values, right? There's things that you need to get off your chest. And I know. That's why I sat here with you this long. I know. I could have walked out right away. But I know what you're about. I know you feel bad. I can see the tears, and that tells me a lot. I'm not judging you, okay? I'm not. I'm not judging you at all, and I won't. I know you've had a shitty life, okay? I know you've had a shitty life, and I don't expect you to be perfect.
Well, I just worry about my children.
I know you do. I know you do. And you know what? I know you do, and that tells me a lot. You should be concerned. If you weren't concerned with them, if you weren't concerned about them right now, I don't know what I would think about you. I know you're concerned. You had two kids, two beautiful kids, right? Bring and Damien. They must mean the world to you. Hey?
Yeah.
They do. I know they do.
I never see them again.
Oh, come on. Hey, look at me. You will see them again. Don't say that. You'll see them again, okay? You know what? You've taken a big step here, okay? You've taken a monster leap. All right? That is awesome. You are a decent fella, whether you think so or not, okay? Okay? Hey. I don't have any animosity against you, okay? Alright? You did a good thing, okay?
The detective sees that he's able to manipulate Carl's emotions, so he says things like, "You're a good guy, and it must be so hard for you." When Carl mentions that he is worrying about his children, the detective sees that Carl is becoming emotional, and he begins to use this to his advantage. Even though the detective already knows the terrible things that took place the night of Phoenix's murder, he must play the part of a friend and do his best to get a confession from Carl. It's not an easy thing to do when you know the person in front of you has done horrible things, but the interrogator has been well trained and plays the part of a sympathizer very well.
And then I tried to save her.
Yeah, what'd you do?
Try to give her CPR.
Yeah. And what happened?
Just put a cup in.
No. That must have been hard, eh? That must have been hard. I feel for you, man.
Yeah. I made a big mistake.
I know. But you know what?
I got okay for it, so.
But you know what? You know what? You're owning up to it, right? Right? The good fellow that you are owning up to it. You realized you made a mistake. Right?
Yeah.
You did make a mistake.
I made a mistake.
You did. And you know what? And you're talking about it, and that's awesome. That's great. What was it that set you off that day? I mean, we all have pressures in our life. Okay? Was it medication? Was it stress? Was it people bothering you? Was it fear? What was it that set you off? I'm sorry.
I don't know. I don't know. It's a tragic thing.
It is a tragic thing, but you've taken a first step, right? As I said earlier, today is the first day of the rest of your life, right? Okay? It's important for you, and you know what? Your family will see it as like, wow, he took ownership of this. He didn't try and hide. You know, that tells so much about your character, okay? Even though all the crap that you've been through in your whole entire life, it tells so much, tells volumes, speaks volumes about your character. When did this happen? How did it happen?
But I don't know what the hell she said to you guys.
Yeah. Well, she talked to one of the other officers. You know, who's responsible here? You or Samantha?
To me, it is both of us.
It's both of you?
Yes.
How is it both of your fault? Explain to me.
This would have been the perfect opportunity for the detective to use Samantha to get a confession from Carl. When Carl inquired as to what she had told them, the detective could have been vague and said she told us everything, but this could have just as easily have backfired. Had Carl been told that Samantha was saying he committed the crime alone, then perhaps this could have made him mad, and he could have then changed his story to accuse Samantha of solely committing the crime. Now you would have two different people accusing each other and the truth buried somewhere in the middle. The detective chooses not to say anything, which will lead to Carl confessing that both he and Amanda were involved.
That day, was she telling you to keep the kid quiet?
No, she was downstairs. I think at the beginning she was downstairs because we were involved.
Okay.
To go see my dad.
Right.
So she put her kid in the corner there.
Is this in the basement?
In the basement.
Yeah. Okay, so she put her kid in the basement because the kid wouldn't keep quiet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a mean mom.
Right. Yeah.
She had no heart.
No way.
I know she loves my babies.
I bet she does.
Well, she made a mistake too.
Yeah. Well, you both made mistakes. You're not perfect. Right?
Yeah. I'm gonna pay for this.
So, tell me, explain to me how it happened.
I can't remember. It's
like, try and remember for me, okay?
I remember the...
I can't hear you.
I don't even remember. She put her in the corner, and she, I don't know what the fucking... She came out of the corner.
And then Phoenix?
Yeah. And then I grabbed it, I threw her on the clothes. There's a bag of clothes, I threw it on there. I said, you know, listen to your mom, I said. So we went and left. And then Anna told me, she said that this little girl wasn't breathing anymore.
Yeah.
I came back, it sounds like that.
Yeah, I know you did. That's what Daniel said. He said,
they're trying to put it on her.
Yeah. But it didn't work.
And then I was scared.
I bet you were.
So we wrapped her up and we went. Buried her.
Yeah. Where'd you bury her?
In the bush.
Where?
By the garbage dump.
Yeah.
Carl confesses to the detective that he and Samantha had beaten Phoenix one day while they were in the basement. After beating little Phoenix nearly to death, they left her in the dark and cold basement to die. One of McKay's sons claimed that he had gone looking for Phoenix because she was unusually quiet, and he said he was used to her crying and begging for food. The child found Phoenix in the basement and placed his hand near her mouth, but he felt no breath. He would tell Samantha and Carl, and they would put the body into a bathtub and then administer CPR, hoping to revive her. When Carl realized that Phoenix was dead, he put the body into a trash bag and placed it into the trunk of his car. He then drove to a landfill and buried the body. Phoenix would remain in the grave for 7 months until Carl's two children would inform their mother as to what they had seen.
Are you able to take me there?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I appreciate that.
That's what this is over.
I know you do. I know you do. And you know what? You're doing a good thing. I know you do. You're doing a good job.
I know. I'm going to spend the rest of my life in jail.
Hey. Let's worry about dealing with the stuff right now, okay? Alright? Did Samantha do anything to her that day?
Yeah. She almost beats her up.
How does she beat her?
She fucking hits her.
Yeah.
I tried so hard not to do anything, you know?
I know.
Try so hard.
I don't want to blame all of that on Samantha, because, you know, we're both involved in this. I see her do it, it's my responsibility. You know, she saw me do this too, and it's her responsibility to bring it.
But, so when we talk about who is responsible for causing Judy's death, was it you or was it her?
I don't know.
After they reveal the location of Phoenix's body, the police would begin to dig up the remains, and the medical examiner would give their report. In this report, it stated that Phoenix suffered from fractures all over her body. There was a mixture of old and new ones, which meant that the initial fractures were not given enough time to heal before they would be fractured again. During the 7 months that Phoenix was buried, Carl and Samantha wanted to continue collecting benefits for her, so they devised a plan to find another girl that looked like Phoenix so they could try and fool the police.
It was March 17th, the year 2006. The time right now is 9:46 p.m. We're out at the Fisher River. We're just past the garbage dump road here. I'm just for the record, I'm Corporal Norm Shred of the Serious Crimes Unit of the RCMP, and Constable Bobby Baker. And operating the camera is Corporal Randy Hooker of the Winnipeg Forensic Ident Section. We are leaving the garbage dump road, and Carl Wesley McKay is going to take us to where Phoenix Sinclair is buried.
Here or right in here. I know it's in here somewhere.
Okay.
So at that point we're standing there.
Where the light is?
Right around here.
Okay. Okay, so you've marked this spot here.
Yeah.
Hope so. And can you mark where else it's gonna be?
Okay. That was like else because I had a small light right here.
Right. Okay. Now, is that the other spot?
This might be a spot, yeah.
Okay. So. Okay.
And exactly where in there?
Okay. How far in the ground? How far in the ground will she be?
Approximately about 8 inches.
About 8 inches?
8 to 10 inches.
Okay.
The soil on the top.
Yeah.
Put right here.
Just how will we find her in there? How will she be?
She will be face up. The plastic is I wrapped her in plastic with a yellow rain jacket. Her head being covered with the head part, and the rest of her body will be like
okay.
Her head's here,
okay.
And then down.
Where are her feet?
Her feet is here, and her head's right here.
And is there anything else in there with her at all?
Just the dirt will be covered with.
Okay.
The grave was about this wide, because she's a very small girl. So it's about this wide.
Samantha and Carl received a life sentence without the possibility of parole for 25 years. At the sentencing, Carl's son would say, "They weren't even crying or anything. I'd look at their faces. I saw no tears, nothing. They didn't even care what they were doing. After they were done wrapping her in the garbage bag, they said, 'Watch your baby sister. We're going to the dump and we're going to bury her.'"
There you go. Here's some food outside the door there. Are you interested in eating anything?
For now, just a little bit of luck.
Yeah. June 11th. How do you remember June 11th?
Because that's the day we buried her.
Yeah.
A GoFundMe was set up to raise money for a headstone for the grave that Phoenix would finally be laid to rest in. Phoenix lived to be only 5 years old, but at least 2 of those years would be spent with a good family who loved her. Kim and Rohan showed Phoenix what it was like to be in a loving home. She would eat so much food that Rohan would call her Phoenix the Fatty Boom Boom, and she would call him the Big Guy.